Can you hear?
I mean, yeah.
You want to say your name and address, just to see if it's...
My name is David Jolly. I live at 2230 East 46th Street, Cleveland, Ohio, 44103.
How is that? Is it going?
It's not.
All right, let me... Can I just borrow this?
Yeah, absolutely.
All right, you want to tell me about, you follow the Cavs?
You know, off and on, off and on.
Or the Indians? I mean, we just need you to keep talking so we can...
Well, I follow the Cavs, I follow the Indians, I follow the Browns, but I don't go to all the games no more, all like that.
No?
It's working now.
Perfect, okay, so, this is recording, so we're ready to get started. This is Nick Downer and Clea Newman. We're working with the Campus District and Cleveland State University with the Oral History Project. And we're here with David Jolly. Mr. Jolly, could you state your name and address and how old you are, please?
My name is David Jolly. My address is 2230 East 46th Street, Cleveland, Ohio. I'm 73 years old.
That's great. And how long have you lived in Central?
In Central area? Ever since 1954. Central area, but I've been living in Cleveland longer than that.
Where were you born?
Georgia.
Did you move up with your parents?
I moved with my parents in 1944.
Was this the first place they came? Central?
No, the first place we came was over on Rolling Avenue off of 79th. Near Kinsman, 75th and Kinsman. We stayed over there. I went to Kinsman Elementary School, which was on 79th and Kinsman. I went to Rollins School, was on Rollins off of 79th. And we stayed over there for about 8-9 years. Then we moved down on the Central area. I came down to the Central area in 1954. I used to live on East 19th Street off of Woodland. And I started going to school from there. On 19th Street, they had another school on Carnegie, 14th Street, called Brownell. That's where all the kids went that was in the 7th, 8th, and 9th grade. When they left that school, they went to East Tech, which everybody went to East Tech. I didn't go to East Tech. When I came out of high school, I went to Thomas Edison. It was on 71st and Huff. So people went, and then we went to Central High School, which on 4th and Central. It has a different name now. So I've been around quite a while. The streets have changed. There was no community college. Everything up and down Quincy was streets. 28th Street, 26th Street, 27th Street, 30th, all the way down to 40th. I used to live on 19th Street. They had a elementary school on 20th Street up between Quincy and Woodland, where all the kids were going there. So I came out of school in 1958. I moved away, but we had a lot of things down here. They used to down there where the baseball stadium is at. There used to be the East Side Market. It was just like the West Side Market. But when the Indians wanted to make a ball stadium, they tore it down. At that market, they used to have a horse and wagon. We used to park outside early in the morning. You come there, it was the rag man. He would park his wagon there. Up down that street, they had stores that had all kind of different jars of food. It was just regular stores up and down right there on that one street. You could buy just about anything you wanted in there. It's not like it is now. From there, on 19th Street, they had an open air market where they had all your vegetables sitting out to the street. So when you ride by, you could see and stop your car and buy your fruit and vegetables and go home. This is between 19th and the 20th Street in Woodland. I used to work there on Friday, Saturday evening, from 5 in the morning to 10 or 12 at night. On down on 22nd and Woodland, they had other stores that sold all kind of canned goods and stuff. From when they went on down on 27th in Quincy, they had a show, a theater, neighborhood show.
Well, do you remember the name?
I don't remember the name of the show, but it was there. Just like downtown, they had the Carter Show that was on 9th Street. And you know all the rest of the shows down there, which is down there now. The Hippodrome Show was down there. State Theater, Palace Theater, all like that was down there still. We used to go downtown because every store was downtown. And the best part about downtown around Christmas time when it was all decorated, we didn't have no suburbs where they had malls, wasn't no malls at all. Downtown was your mall. Coming on down, Woodland, down to 55th and Woodland, they had a market down there too. They had a big bank on 55th and Woodland, Cleveland Trust, sitting right on the corner. They had a market right next to the Cleveland Trust. They had a Five and Dime next to the market. You could go in on Woodland side and come out on 55th side in the market. They had, on 55th and Woodland, they had a big Soho station right on the corner where they got the post office at now. And across from that, on that Kinsman corner, they had a nightclub, which is right now a gas station. On the other side of the Woodland, they had a big drugstore with doctor offices on top of the, over the drugstores. Next to the drugstore, they had the Hognall Theater, the show. They had the shoe stores that's downtown now that wasn't down there then. They had Mike the Hatter on 55th and Woodland. They had a Stetson short, sold shoes on 55th and Woodland. Just about they had every store that's downtown was on 55th and Woodland. You come all the way down to 55th and Central, they had a black, a hotel. All the entertainers used to come to town, which is, now they got down there, I think, a Goodwill sitting on the corner. The biggest business in town was, I'll tell you the truth, it was Wheels. Everybody went to Wheels, but it, you know, it wasn't all these places they have now.
What was Wheels?
Wheels Funeral Home.
Okay.
Wheels was big, which is still there, but they don't took the name down.
Right.
So everybody that lived around this area went to the Wheels. Wheels used to help the people that didn't have the money pay on time. You know, so people were satisfied with that. Across the street from the Wheels, I had East Tech High School. Great big old looking school. When the Cavaliers were winning, when the East Tech High School was winning back-to-back championships, 58, 59, and 1960. They were winning so many championships, that they started breaking up the schools. All the boys came out of the projects. The Catholic schools couldn't beat them, so what they started doing was recruiting the boys from the projects. What they would do, come by your house and ask your mother, send your son to St. Ignatius, because he was a good ball player. So that's how they broke up the monotony of East Tech winning every championship. Half of them didn't go to college, but they were real excellent ball players. So they broke all that up there. On 43rd and Quincy, which they still have, we call it the POC, is the bathhouse. It's still there. Across the street from there was Kennard Junior High School, where the kids went to school in the projects. They had another elementary school on 40th and Central, which is not there anymore. They have a Jehovah's Witness church on 40 from Central, in that area. Across the street was Central High School. It wasn't no elementary school, that was Central High. I remember my sister, my cousin telling me, 1936, it was senior high school. You know, you come out of Central, all of them came out of Central senior high school. Then they changed it, like the middle school, from the 7th, 8th, 9th school. But now, I don't know what it is now, I think it's a little different now.
So what do you remember about the neighborhood being like, you know, when you would walk down the street, what was it like?
About like it is now.
Yeah.
The difference in the neighborhood then, though, with all the streets and the houses, people got along better and we knew one another. They had now, they said, it's kind of bad now, but we had all kinds of things going on back then. They had the same fights they got now. Kids did the same thing, you know, so it wasn't no difference. I moved out of the Central area, and I used to, like I say, stay down on 75th and Woodland. I stayed on Rawlings, 75th and Rawlings, so they had a Rawlings Junior High. Most of the kids went to Rawlings Junior High. We had a Kinsman School on 79th and Kinsman, which burnt down about 1967. All the kids around 79th and Kinsman went to the elementary school there. Rawlings had a junior high school on 75th and Rawlings. All the kids on Quincy, Cedar, came down to that high school. That's the only high school. Unless you came off of 55th, then you went to Canard. On Grand and Woodland, they had a elementary school. It was sitting on the corner, it was not there, now they had tore it down and burned it down. So they had all kinds of schools right in your area where you could walk. You didn't have to be bused nowhere. On 55th and Woodland, they had a fire department, which is not there anymore. It was right between 55th, between Broadway and 55th, they had a fire department. On 55th and Woodland, they had the post office. Next to the House of Will was a post office. So, and then they had clubs on Woodland, 55th and Woodland. They had a club on Woodland off about 48th Street. They had a club right on the dividing line between Kinsman and Woodland. And 55th was where Kinsman split up at, down on 55th. They had a club sitting right there on the corner, which is the gas station now. Then they crossed the street from there, they had another club, which burnt down, where all the black entertainers used to come to town at.
So what did you used to, when you were growing up in the neighborhood, what did you do for fun? Like what would you guys do?
Well, the biggest thing back then was track and basketball. Track was more, the biggest thing, more than basketball, which basketball is the biggest thing now. So that's where we used to go to track meets at all the schools. A lot of schools are torn down that we used to go. Further on down off of Kinsman, everybody went to John Adams that stayed in that area off 116, around Miles. But John Adams is still there now. Then the other school we would go to, John Hay. At that time, John Hay in 1950 was a girls' school. East Tech in 1950 was a boys' school. Jane Adams in 1950 was a girls' school. It was on Carnegie, it wasn't where it's sitting at now. Because my wife went to Jane Adams. It was all girls' school. And basically, everybody came from the South, came around that area, moved in that area. 55th, 79th, on up to Central, Cedar. We all stayed right in one big area. Then later on, we getting to branch out. But wasn't too many people living across 93rd and Kinsman that was black. Only a handful of people might have been living. So we used to go to Wood Hill, we call it Wood Hill Inn, to go up there to the, and they wouldn't allow us up at Wood Hill. Not back in the 1950. Because most of the white lived up in Wood Hill. But we could go up there. And like I said, basically you just stayed in your area. And all then finally blacks started moving out towards 105, towards 140 from Kinsman, all the way up to Warrensville, slowly in Miles area. But we didn't, when they first came to Cleveland, they didn't. So basically that's how, that's what it was. And as we got older, we began to move away. But I tell you, when I grew up around, I had a good time. I was a young man. We had our fights, like in the school, and all like that, so it wasn't too much difference. Didn't have no shootings, though. Kids didn't shoot kids back then, like they have now. They got arrested, put in juvenile for fighting, just regular fighting. They had clubs, they had all kind of clubs back then. If you weren't in a club, you might be in a lot of trouble. They had the Mighty Kings, they had the French Nobles, they had a club like that. And most kids were 12, 13, 14, 15 in those different clubs.
Were you in a club?
No, I never was in a club.
No.
If you used to go in the wrong neighborhood, say I'm going over to see my cousin. If you didn't know nobody on that neighborhood, you was in trouble. Because every area had a club. And they would be on the corners. When you come down, if you come down the right way, they wouldn't bother you. But if you wore a club jacket, they would.
So you had to be careful what you wore. Right,
you had to be careful just about what you wore and how you approached the club. See? Because if you come down there, you might see six, seven guys right down here in the projects here. They had clubs. And if you didn't stay down here, and I stayed over there on Rawlings, 79th Rawlings, I come down here to see my cousin that was down here in the projects, I would be in trouble unless I can prove that my auntie stayed in the projects. So like I said, but the police broke all those clubs up about, I think it was by 1965, they had broke most of them up. A lot of young men went to juvenile, some of them got hurt. A lot of them went to the army. What they would do back then was, they won't do it right now. If you were around 17 and got into trouble, the juvenile down on 22nd, the judge would give you the option. Would you want to go to jail or go to the army? That was your option. It wasn't like it is now with drugs, keep you out of the army. There's nothing keep you out if you got in trouble for the first time. So you would go to the army at 17 or 18. You know, keep from going to jail, which it should be like that now, with the boys are on drugs and stuff, they should put them in the service, but they said if they haven't finished high school, you can't go. That's why they got so many kids wandering the streets right now.
So after they broke the clubs up, did some of those clubs come back in the form of gangs that you see now?
Or no, no. Just a different sort of gangs than I have now.
Yeah.
See, now these boys got, they really ain't got no gangs now. They have guns and stuff. One or two of them shooting each other, all like that. We never did have no guns. You might hear of a shooting once in a while when we used to have big high school dances. You know, you go to the dance, you might have five clubs at one dance. And so you had to be very careful at the dance, whose sister you were looking at. You know, so whatever, if a boyfriend was there with his club. But that was the biggest thing, the club nights when they had big dances.
You have any stories about those big nights? Do you
remember? Well, Rawlings School had the biggest dance on Wednesday nights and Friday nights. And everybody from Quincy on down came to Rawlings off of 79th. So those dancers would have a big fight. They have two gyms. They have a gym where you play basketball. They have another gym where you danced in. And the dance gym part, you would get in a fight. And they had so big a fight, they used to have a guard there. He was a maintenance man, really. He wasn't a guard. He would break up the fights. But after it turned out, he would turn out like at 10 o'clock on Friday nights, 10 o'clock on Wednesday nights. Police would be around the school because they would have a fight. And the fight might come off of Kinsman, might come off of Cedar, might come off of Quincy, might come off of Woodland, because you had all them places were down on Rawlings at the party. Canard them didn't have those big dances like Rawlings used to have. So that was the only difference in it. I used to enjoy going to the dances and the parties. Then they had the school on 71st and Huff called Thomas Edison, where they used to have all the big track meets. And they would have big fights at the track meet. You know, so Philly would go all the way out to St. Clair, Superior, where they got schools at now. We used to have track meets and all like that, but you would have a fight at a track meet. I don't care what track meet you went to.
From the people in the track meet or the people in the stands?
The stands.
Yeah.
You know, if your school didn't win, they had a little insult there. Somebody would start something. The only thing I liked about the schools back then, we had more in the schools back then. When I went to Thomas Edison, we had swimming in the school. We had boxing in the school. We had photography in the school. We had welding in the school. We had woodshop in the school. You had math, English, science. That was Thomas Edison. They had all them things in the school. And East Tech had the same thing, but East Tech didn't have a swimming pool. We did. But when they tore all them schools down, they didn't put all those things back in the schools like we had, we was going to. They built East Tech back on 55th. They don't have half the stuff they had. Thomas Edison, they never put back. It's Martin Luther King now, I think. They don't have half the stuff. Thomas Edison had a great big track meet. Had inside track, outside track. So we did have a lot of different things that people didn't realize we had.
You think they used to keep the kids out of trouble more because they had stuff to do?
No, I don't think that.
No.
No.
They just had more stuff to do.
Because, see, the difference is we weren't into all that sports back then like they are now, where the people be so much at the basketball game, recruiting their kids. Parents didn't recruit no kids for no basketball or no track. If you just going there, that would just be you. I got a grandson. He played basketball year round. He go to St. Ed. But back then, you didn't play basketball year round. When school was out, basketball was out. Same way with football. We didn't have no baseball teams. We had baseball teams, but it was in the summer. The neighborhood would have a baseball team for the boys in the neighborhoods. Woodhill would have a great big, back in the 70s and 80s, they had baseball teams up at Woodhill Inn. Because the white people really started moving out. Black folks started moving in, which is up there now.
Can you remember when that was, around when?
When they started moving out?
Yeah.
They kind of slowly moved out. You know?
Sort of sneaky.
You know, you never notice how, because when I bought a house up there by John Adams. I was 26 years old. And when I moved, that was in 1967, by John Adams. I used to live on 112. I had white neighbors. Slowly, they moved. They started moving in the 60s. By the time, because when my son went to John Adams, they had white going to John Adams. By the time, I think, when he came out, they had moved away. I had cousins stayed up on 140th from Kinsman. When they was going there, they had white going, because whites really stayed all the way down there. But they began to move easy, slowly, so you didn't hardly notice it. Till one day you realize all blacks to move the whole area. Then like down here on Central, in the 30s and the 40s, first of the 40s, was all white. Till the blacks started coming from the South, and they started coming around the 55th, Woodland area, Quincy area, Central area, 79th area. A few of them started going out towards 105 by Superior, St. Clair. They began to move like that, but slowly moved out.
Do you remember there being white people living in Central when you were there?
When I was down in the Central area, you know, I really didn't see that. It was just a handful at the most. So you wouldn't really notice it. But when I moved over by John Adams, they had white. Because my kids were going to school with some white kids. We had white staying next door to us. But by the time I got there and stayed a year or two, they was gone. You know, so they began to, so it took a while, but they all moved out of the area. Like I said, and Woodland used to have all kind of stores. You didn't have to go all over town to shop.
Were they white owned or black owned?
White owned.
Yeah.
They was all white owned, but they was there. But as soon as we got in the area heavy, they sold the stores. They began to move out. They did have blacks owned stores now, don't get me wrong. Blacks did own a lot of stores. They had more blacks owned the stores then than they do now. And so we could go into a store, black owned. On Woodland, up around 63rd of Woodland, where my wife stayed at, all Italians and maybe Jews owned the stores, grocery stores. Look, all of them are stores around there. The cleaners, they owned all that kind of stuff around there. But slowly they began to move out to the blacks. But they did own all those stores. On Fifth Market, it was just like the West Side Market in Woodland. They had sawdust on the floors. They had vendors all in there. You could buy anything in that market you wanted to buy. So we didn't have to go downtown to the downtown market. Right there around where the baseball stadium had, they had a big old market. You go across the bridge with the West Side Market, but we didn't hardly go over there that much because that was there. But when the Cleveland Indians wanted to build, they bought that whole area. And the Cavaliers wanted to build. And so that cleared up all the houses downtown that we lived in. So we used to live on 12th Street, 13th Street, 14th Street, 19th Street, 20th Street, 22nd, 24th, all the way down to 30th. With nothing but houses and stores. The 40th Street Market was still there like it is today on Woodland. But it was more productive then. They had a lot more trucks and a lot more. You had more jobs then. Guys could go down and load trucks, make a few dollars this way or that, which they don't have now. They had a lot of jobs. They had, like I said, we had open markets that you could work and after school to make a few dollars because your parents didn't really make that much money. They don't have those jobs no more. They cut out all those kind of jobs.
Sure. So what kind of jobs did you end up doing? You said you worked at the open air market, right?
I worked, when I was about 15, I worked there.
What kind of other jobs have you had?
Oh, I don't have a lot. I used to go to golf course in Caddy, which is a Holland View. Everybody went to Holland View to Caddy. I went out to Holland View to Caddy at 53. I was 13 years Caddy in the 18 hole, 9 hole. And then I worked at the markets. Just about any job I could get. I worked downtown below the Hippodrome Show. They had a Chinese restaurant. I was 17. You know, I was still going to high school. I finished high school in 58. I worked at Metro Hospital 3 years. Just out of high school. Got a job at Metro. I worked at Navy Finance Building. It's not the one that's downtown now. It was on 13th and Euclid. It was a Navy Finance Building, but they were renting the building. The Navy Department was renting until they built the one they have now. I was about 24 then. I worked at Alcor Aluminum, which these jobs I just quit. They didn't fire me nothing. And finally, I went out to Ford plant because I always did want to work at Ford.
Where was that plant?
Brook Park.
Oh.
Finally, they called me. I retired from Ford plant. 30 years. But But I done had so many jobs. Like I said, you could find a job anywhere if you wanted a job. It wasn't, and then in, down here on 22nd, between Central, they had a laundromat where a lot of white and black work. They did all your uniforms, right on, which they had the highway coming, they tore it down. Richmond Brothers on 55th, where a lot of sewing and stuff was going on, white and black worked in there, which is still there, you see the building there now. They had another sewing place on Kinsmore, down near Grand, where they got that new market they put down there. But where that new market at, that was my father's land. They bought that a few years ago from my family. Not the whole, all of it, but part of it. My father owned some of that land. They had a beer place here that made beer on Quincy. They had two great big beer places, around 83rd and Quincy, 82nd Central and Quincy down there. They had Warren and Swayze on 55th and Carnegie. They had TRW on 55th, which they moved all out. So all them plants that's way out were really wrong off 55th bound Carnegie, where you see all them abandoned buildings. That's where it was at. Let me see. They had so much. Like I said, I was a teenager, and teenagers don't notice so much, but so much. But as I got older, by the time I got older, TRW, Warren and Swayze, all of them had moved out. You know, so they wasn't there. But they were there in the 30s and the 40s, in the early 50s. So they just said, so, and then we had recreation. When you was a teenager, we'd have pool halls in the neighborhood. So we could go hang out in the pool hall. Pool hall, they had three of them on 55th and Woodland. They had one on Central, they had another one. You know, they had them all around. So you 17, 18, 19, you hung out in the pool hall. But they didn't allow women in the pool hall. Because women start trouble. if you look right now what they do, you don't see too many now. That's why you don't see them. But when I came up, that was the neighborhood place. When you were 17, 18, you stay, shoot pool on Friday and Saturday nights. I used to tell my, when I was going with my wife, she said, where you been? I said, oh, I just been hanging around. Oh, you been in that pool hall? I see that chalk all over your fingers. we'd be about 18, 19, we'd sit up in the pool hall shooting pool. You know, because I didn't hang out in bars. I didn't drink like that, so I didn't do all that. That's why a lot of bars, they had a clubs all up on Euclid too, black clubs and white clubs for James Brown, Red Fox, all those entertainers came, B.B. King. They all came down on 55th and Woodland too, where the clubs was at. But see, I didn't hang in them clubs. Basically, most of the time I was working, trying to earn a, because see, our parents didn't give you no money back then. Didn't give you nothing. If you wanted, you got to go find your job, boy. So a lot of days, the kids down here went to school, they didn't have no money to buy lunches. Lunch was only 35 cents. You're lucky you had 35 cents. Now the parents, my child got to have this. My child, you didn't have that, and all this different stuff for sports now, drinks and body lifting, all like that. Those kids were really good in sports and didn't do none of that. All they did, maybe eat one time a day, two times a day, but they were athletic. It didn't take all what they got now. I remember when Jim Brown came to town. Jim Brown came around, I think, 59. Came from Syracuse, we never forget it. Biggest man in town, Jim Brown. Biggest man.
Did you get to meet him?
And I never get to meet him. No, Jim Brown. Poor man like me didn't meet no Jim Brown. No, I probably could have if I'd have wanted to. But Jim Brown, he come to town, he bought him a great big old Cadillac. You know, everybody knew when Cadillac parked out there who it was. You know, so it wasn't too many people had Cadillacs, but preachers. Preacher might have had a Cadillac. But Jim Brown had a Cadillac at 22. He came to the Browns. If Jim Brown got in trouble, Paul Brown, all of them would call. That was the rest of it. Wasn't nothing else said.
Yeah.
You know, so Jim Brown was the biggest thing in town. You know, police didn't hassle him like they do the players now. News didn't hassle him like they do the players now. You know, you didn't do all like that. If they had a favorite athlete, they took care of him. So things were a lot different then. So like I said, the biggest thing then was track meets. It wasn't so much about, high school was the biggest thing in basketball, but track meets, we used to have, we used to enjoy. They don't have that. We didn't have too many baseball teams. We played baseball in the summer, but we didn't have teams, which they don't have teams now, if you know of, which they should, but they don't. They promote more basketball than baseball, you know. So, and then we didn't have no televisions. Kids sit in front of TV 24 hours a day. We didn't have TVs. We had radios.
What kind of stuff you used to listen to on the radio? Music?
Radio. Your parents would listen to radio. You had to make, basically we used to listen to the music. What they listen to now, 43, all like that. We used to, they had the rock and roll back then, 56 and stuff, when they had all the entertainment, because you could hear James Brown and all that, because a lot of stations didn't broadcast black music back then. They had Soul Train, we used to listen to that. When Soul Train first came on, we seen Soul Train and all like that. Biggest thing you had then was Channel 3, 5 and 8 back in the 50s and 40s. That's when the TVs first started coming out. The only thing you could watch then was I Love Lucy. Lucy would come on, Milton Berle and all like them, all them old stars would come on, but you didn't have three channels. And parents didn't allow you to sit in the house what they would call looking in their face. See, you didn't sit in the house. She pointed like that, you had to go out. Kids now, during their run, the parents out the house. If the parents had company, you would go out. They didn't want you to hear every word they spoke. You didn't, see, the kids got a lot more respect for the parents back then. Because they wouldn't let kids hear everything they said. And they wouldn't do anything in front of the kids. That was the difference in the kids then. We didn't disrespect our parents. If my aunt came over and I said, "Hello, Alice." She said, "Young man, what you say?" I said, "Oh, hello, Aunt Alice." Cause see, you got to give them that title. Uncle, aunt, whatever it is, you had to put that title on it. Cause if she go back home and tell your father what you said, you had a tail whooping coming. Or she might give you a tail whooping before you leave. They call it brutality. But the kids did respect the parents, they respect the older people. They didn't fight older people at all. We could walk the street at night at 12 when nobody touched you.
As an adult?
As a child and an adult. Mm-hmm. You know, I used to stay down here on 19 Woodland. I could walk down on 55th at 12 o'clock at night, all the way down Woodland, when nobody bothered you. They might say something to you, but it wouldn't bother you. But now you can't hardly walk out the house. See, because like I said, kids had respect. The parents demanded respect. But the government killed all that respect. They don't allow the kids to, parents to say nothing to the kids. They don't allow the teachers to say nothing to the kids. The teachers had more authority than the parents when you was in school. You didn't backtalk the teachers. You might say a few smart words. But basically, the teacher know who the smart word was. And first thing they holler. See, you come up there, put your hand out. And you know what you had coming. So, or if they send you down to the office. And most of you didn't want to go to the office. But if the teacher called your parents to come up to the school, you had a whooping coming. Not come up there, your parents come up there and call the teacher a lie. The parents never would do that. Yeah. These parents now would fight the teacher. My child don't do it, but you didn't do it. So that was the difference then. We had more respect. We didn't have nothing like the kids now. We didn't have all these toys, all that stuff to play with. See, we had to go outside. I used to go in my room and draw. I used to draw pretty good. You know, so I would sit in there and draw 3 or 4 hours a day. And it didn't bother me at all. We didn't have no radios because the parents had the radio. And you might could listen at it when the baseball came on sometime. You might not. Everybody didn't have TV because TV cost too much money. The average TV run $1,000, $800. So how many houses had TVs? So it wasn't that. And so the few houses did have TVs, we would all go down there to their house. That TV was a big thing then. You might have half the neighborhood sitting in the house looking at TV. So that was, you know, so, but that was it. That's about the biggest thing back then. Respect the kids had for the parents, the respect the kids had for the teachers. You know, if you was fighting outside of school and the teacher come out, the fight stops. They have to change that situation nowadays. Get a respect back to the teachers, get the respect from the kids, and I bet you have a different area. These kids don't care nothing about the parents now. Yeah. You go over there right now and hit a child, on the phone call the police. Police come to arrest the parent. Well, how are you gonna chastise your child if you don't have some kind of authority? They have authority in prisons, you don't see all that. They have authority in juvenile, you don't see all that. They mentioned of juvenile, I used to work with a juvenile too, for attention home. I used to work out there at a boys' school out there on Green Road. I was a youth leader, they called them back then. I forgot all about it, I worked there. I was about 28 years old. And, you know, and so, and they didn't have women working in those places then, over boys, which they do have now. See, women don't take over mostly. I'm not saying women not doing a good job, but they don't take over all the jobs that the men used to have. Men don't have no more. So that's why the problem come in again. You see women riding down the street on garbage trucks. Women didn't ride no garbage truck back then because they were women. They had respect for themselves. They wouldn't nobody say about that on no truck. They didn't drive garbage trucks back then. They didn't work in the streets back then. The biggest thing women did back then would be mothers, and they did day work. Now, they would go to white people how to do day work back in 58, 59, 56. One too many women really working. So they were around the house to watch their children. Now you look up, more women got jobs now than men. They're not at home. And that's like my daughters, them. My kids came up, my wife was home the first 10 years. Mine just as good. I don't have no trouble out of them there. You know, like I said, my son a teacher, my daughter a teacher, and my other son, he computers. All of them went to high school and finished. I made them get respect. I didn't beat them or nothing, but I started off that way with them. They're not drug addicts or nothing like that on their own homes. Another thing I told them, like my daddy told me when I left home, when you move out, you're on your own. That's what I told mine. That's what he told us. If you got down, he didn't open the door back. You work your way out of it. He said that's what he did. That's what I did to my kids. My daughter I can bring up right now. She speaks at the high schools and stuff for kids to go to college. She speaks at church functions. You might see her down at the palace, ushering, volunteering. She works in the church and all like that. But the thing is, my kids don't backtalk me. I don't have no backtalk in the house. I run the house. See, my daddy, you didn't backtalk him. He ran the house. Me and my mother, when your father spoke, everybody listened. I don't care if he's lying. His wife did not call him no lie in front of company. See, That was different things then. You did not do that. Now the wife will go there. You might look over there and say, you lying. What you said that for? So you wouldn't do that then. You would not discharge your husband in front of other people. Because you know why you wouldn't do it? He would reach up his hand and knock across the floor. So she gave him the respect. Now when she's talking, he listened too. Every now and then, you know, parents do have their ups and downs, don't get me wrong. But she would not make him look bad in front of other folks. She might tell him once they go out the door he was lying, but she would not do that. That's what I mean. This is what I'm talking about respect. The kids gave you respect, your wives gave you respect, that was all the difference.
Thank you. All right, I have to go to class in a minute, and I think we've covered all the questions. You've been very helpful, I think.
Whatever.
So I don't know. I guess, do you have anything to add, Clea?
I don't think I do. I'm sorry.
So that's the difference in it. But like I said, they had all kind of jobs then. You didn't have to worry about no job if you wasn't lazy.
Right.
It wasn't a problem like it is now.
That's good. All right, well, I think we'll end there then at 12:30, Tuesday, April 2nd.